Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Whoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited to be here. And I want to thank God for the privilege to be here to share with amazing sons and daughters of God. I'm really, really excited in my heart. Father, I thank you. I do not take this privilege for granted. And I want to also thank the convener of Zoe Bible Study, my very own sister, Miss Kenny Tella, Oyi Consola Tella. I celebrate you, woman of God. I celebrate what you're doing. Honestly, you are an inspiration to, you know, young ladies, single ladies. I see God using you as a light, you know, to help them see that you don't have to be useless looking for love and relationship before, you know, you can, you know, do what God will have you do and, you know, live a life of significance and relevant. I celebrate how you, you know, model Christ and, you know, walk in his purpose for you, in his path for you, and how that you discipled and discipling, you know, ladies and, you know, guys. Amazing work you're doing. God bless you. God strengthen you. Hallelujah. We give God all the praise for today. I've seen the flyer, and I thank God for the words that have been shared by Amazing Graces and Vessels. God be praised. Amen. My name is Darina Moshele, TMA. I prefer to be called TMA for short. Hallelujah. Okay, so I was told to talk about Christian dating and navigating into marriage. I was like, Tella, how is your thing? Tella is such a deep person. Navigating, that's a deep word. It's alright. Navigating the path to marriage. Alright, Father, I thank you for tonight. I ask that you speak through me. I ask that you speak through me as your oracle. Father, Lord, let it not be I that is speaking. Let your sons and your daughters, let them hear you. Even as I teach your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want us to, you know, give the Lord a shout of praise. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many of you are thankful for Zoe platform? You're thankful for Zoe Bible study. Alright, you should give God praise. You should give God praise. Hallelujah. The truth is there are so many things flying around, so many wrong doctrines, so many wrong teachings, mindsets. If some people open their mouth to talk like you, be like, what? But here we are with, you know, a ministry that delivers God's word and, you know, with sound doctrine. That's something to thank God for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give God all the praise. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So, I have some things written down to share. Alright. Okay, so Christian dating. You know, I actually prefer using the word courtship because I feel that in this Christian, or is in the world, yeah, in the world, the way people have bastardized that word dating, you know, and that word has offended me personally. You know, when guys come and say, let's start going now, let's go, let's date, and then you are just dating and wasting yourselves away, you know. But I believe that, I know Tella, so I understand what she was, you know, the meaning of this word. It's not the way the world sees it. Alright, it's a serious Christian dating. Now, I want us to know that there is a way the world has modeled dating to us. You know, either through society, you know, school, Nollywood, Hollywood, more like you meet a guy, you go out, and then the guy is dropping the lady off, the guy is standing in the front of the door, and the guy is like, I really want to go home, but I have to pass the night, I don't know, so you know, they shall step with each other, and then, for you know, like that, you say they are already in a relationship. All those nonsense they used to do on TV. Somehow, we, you know, digest these things, and then we now think that's how relationship is meant to be done. How many of you used to be like that? Or you may think like that, don't worry. You don't have to raise your hand. Amen. I used to feel that way. I used to think that way. I used to feel if a relationship is not, it doesn't have to do with, you know, all those pull your clothes, tear your clothes, you know, they'll start tearing clothes from the sitting room, then the clothes, you see trace of the clothes on the stairs, they are shower upstairs, you know, pulling clothes and doing all those things, they wake up in the morning, and I find that the guy has gone, all those things. So, somehow, we feel that's how relationship is done. The truth is this, there is a way Christian dating is done. And if we don't renew our mind, believers, we find ourselves messing up big time. Amen. There is a way we run relationship in the kingdom. The Bible says in Romans 12 verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There is a way the world runs their thing. There is a way they run their business. In the world, they want to, you know, do things. You know, my husband used to call them, is it Machiavellian? There's one they used to call them. People, they don't care. By the way, I celebrate my amazing husband. You know, that's why I like being called TMA. Because anytime I say TMA, Mrs. Aaron, I'm celebrating him in my heart. All right. Like, they feel like the way they do their things in the world, they can mash your feet. They don't care. They can cheat, steal, sleep with their boss to get the promotion. There is a way the world runs their thing, including relationship. And if we are not careful believers, the way the world is running their relationship, the way the world is running their marriage, will begin to creep into the church, will begin to creep into our lives. That is why this meeting is very, very key. Amen. We need to understand the meaning of Christian dating, Christian relationship. It is not the way the world does it. Hallelujah. It is not the way the world does it. There's a way the world runs their relationship. And we need to be careful that we are not being influenced and being, you know, manipulated and being dragged into their methodologies. Hallelujah. We need to renew our minds. We need to renew our minds. And we need to start learning how relationship is done in the kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So tonight I'll be sharing with us how relationship is done in the kingdom. I may not be able to touch everything, all right, but the ones that I, you know, I've been able to, you know, pen down and I'll be able to share, I trust that God is going to expand them in your heart. And I also know that, you know, throughout the month of May, we'll be hearing, you know, amazing things about, you know, Christian relationship. Amen. One of the things the Lord laid in my heart to share with us, you know, tonight is how that in Christian relationship, we know where we are going. Amen. In Christian relationship, we know where we are going. Hallelujah. The way the world runs relationship is they don't know where they are going. It is until they've gotten to a point, you know, that they now say, okay, can we start considering marriage? But that's not how it is in the kingdom. Amen. In the kingdom relationship, we know what we are going. We know what we're doing. The Bible says in Isaiah 46 verse 10. Please, someone, you know, listening or coordinating this, should post Isaiah 46 verse 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This is God speaking. God is saying, I declare the end from the beginning. I love the NIV version. It says, I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times what is still to come. It says, I make known the end from the beginning. It means that when you meet God, God tells you the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God does not say, let's just be going. Let's see how it goes. All those things that, you know, they say in the world, let's just see how it goes.
you know, perhaps something good can come out of it. I should be seeing how it's going with you. No. That's not how it's done in the kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. When God wanted to start a relationship with Abraham, I want you to know that the relationship that God, you know, began with Abraham, I'm getting my spirit that relationship is actually likened to a marital relationship, because God called a covenant with that man. Glory to God. God said to him, he says, follow me to a place I will show you. And he just say, let's just be going. He says that I'm taking you to a place, and he says, I will make your name great. He told Abraham the end point. Hallelujah. He gave Abraham the end point. God didn't just say, just follow me, let's see what will come out of it. You may be great, you may not be great. Some guys say, let's be going out. You may end up being the one I'll marry, you may not be the one I'll marry. All those nonsense. No, that's not how Christian relationship is done. Amen. God spoke to Abraham and said, you know, get thee out of thy country into a land that I will show you. And he says, I will make your name great. I will make your name great. In your seed, I will bless all the earth. God promised Abraham. Christian relationship is done based on promise. Not just what promise. Promise that, you know, that both of you are certain that you people mean together. Hallelujah. When I met my husband, I knew my husband in 2010, but I got to know that he's my husband in 2012, but he got to know 2014. And then when he was proposing to me relationship, he told me, I am going to marry you. And then he told me when he will marry me. Having gotten a revelation in his heart, he said 2018, we're going to get married. Hallelujah. So that was, we were running with that. We're not just doing, will we marry, will we not marry, let's see how it's going. That's how Nollywood has sold this thing to us, that a guy will just be going out with a lady, and then a time will come, then he will just be eating together, and then they will now see ring inside food, they'll be like, will you marry me? All those things are good. My husband did that one too. He did it, you know, when marriage was closed. But I didn't even post pictures of engagement something safe on social media, because some people will be thinking that that was in 2018 January. That was when he decided that he wants to marry me. When wedding was December. So it is January 2018. His dad deciding to marry me. So what exactly are we going to start doing in 12 months? What have we been doing in the past 4 years? Hallelujah. Can you see that it is best when you declare the end from the beginning? You tell yourself that, okay, this journey we're about to start, we're going for marriage. Because it helps you prepare. A lot of marriages are failing right now because the guy just did one bamboo proposal, throw ring, and then woo, and then they say, let's get married, prepare for marriage 6 months. All the while, they've been busy doing all sorts of things, you know, they've just been busy. Some people are just, you know, they're busy with the fledge, they do all of it, and then when the guy now throws ring, I say, oh, let's start get preparing for marriage. Then they are preparing for the party. They are preparing for the party. And then they get married, and then they start having issues. When all the while they are meant to have been preparing for marriage. They are meant to have been preparing themselves for marriage, getting to know each other. They know where they are going, so they are preparing for it. Amen. Glory to God. Sugada bahanda baha shata lida bahai. Christian courtship, Christian relationship. Amen. It's serious, guys. We know where we are going. Hallelujah. And then in Jesus, I see this also with Jesus. You know, if you read Matthew 4 verse 19. Amen. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He was about to start a relationship with some group of guys who are going to help extend the gospel when he's off the scene. How did he make his proposal? He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He gave them a promise like, guys, follow me. I'm going to make you somebody. I'm going to make you great. All this, let's just be going out. And then there's nothing. There's no plan. There's no vision. There's no goal. No. It's not how Christian relationship is done. Hallelujah. We know the end from the beginning. And some of you, you say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. This is how your father runs his thing. Amen. This is how your father runs his own thing. This is how he runs it. He declares the end from the beginning. That's why many of you right now who have come into the understanding of purpose, bless God for, you know, the program that Teller is having, bringing amazing man and woman of God to the platform to teach on understanding purpose. You will see that for those of you have an understanding of purpose. You understand that God, when God was revealing your purpose to you, it was like, well, one big thing, right? That's God telling you that I'm taking you somewhere. You now have to sit down with the Holy Ghost and then with the spirit of wisdom and be like, wisdom, where's the starting point? Because the truth is, what God shows us is the things that is going to rot in our lives. That's how it works. It shows us the future. You are with a guy that you don't even know where people are going. You don't even know the tomorrow. There's no plan. That's not how Christian relationship is done. And guys, if you are listening to me here, if you are in a relationship with some lady and you are busy wasting her time, you've not defined that this is where we are going. This is what we are doing. You are born again. You are not representing the Father accurately. You are not representing God accurately. Let's stop wasting girls' times here. Let's stop wasting times of sisters here. Let's cut this thing. This is what I want and I'm going for it. Jesus knew what he wants. Hallelujah. He went to meet Peter. He told Peter, I want you on my team. Hallelujah. He went to meet Nathaniel. I called for Nathaniel. I think it was Peter or Peter's brother that went to call for Nathaniel. Amen. Glory to God. He went to meet this and he got them into his team. And then he was certain that this is what I want. I want you guys on my team. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. Glory to God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to follow his path. Although Jesus did not have marriage, but the disciples were the closest relationship he had. So we need to see and observe how he actually built that relationship. Glory to God. In kingdom relationship, we know where we are going. We know where we are going. Amen. We know where we are going. Glory to God. I want us to know that God has a plan for your life. And in that plan, he has a will for who should walk with you in that plan. Amen. In the world, they don't have this thing in their radar at all. They don't see relationship as something that God uses, to fulfill and fulfill the kingdom agenda. They don't see relationship in that light. They are not even kingdom. They are not kingdom agenda conscious. They are not purpose conscious. All they are conscious about is butterfly chemistry, hormones. Let's just meet somebody that, makes my heart beat, bing, 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 bing. And then let's just go and marry. But that's not how it is in the kingdom. Kingdom relationship is deeper than that. Amen. Kingdom relationship is deeper than that. I'll tell you, I'll use one couple to explain it to you. Joseph and Mary. My God, I love those couple. Like, I am in love with them. You know why? Because they make me understand that in the kingdom, relationship is not about butterflies, chemistry, and all of those things. It's about purpose. Joseph was engaged to be, married to Mary. They were in a serious relationship. Read Matthew 1, 18 or 16. Amen. They were engaged. They knew where they were going to. But then Mary was found with child. Purpose. And then Joseph was confused. He didn't know about it. Then the angel of the Lord came to make it clear to him that this is what is going on here. And then Joseph manned up because it was a shameful thing for her to be found with child. I want us to think about this. You don't just read Bible story and be like, yeah. Good for them, bad for them. Whoa, Jesus was born. Tada. No. It was in the eyes of everybody as though Joseph is the one that pregnated Mary. Or some people be thinking Mary had gotten pregnant for another man. Because at that time, who do you want to tell that the Holy Spirit that pregnated her? Because the Bible says she kept these things to herself. In fact, it's even more painful. It would have been that she would just go and be like on Twitter, everybody, oh please, oh, I'm not pregnant. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit that got me pregnant. Oh, please, people stop making me feel like please, I'm a faithful person, I'm a faithful partner, blah, blah. But the Bible says she kept these things to herself. Amen. Glory to God. She kept it within her. Hallelujah. So that means people had different opinions about that their relationship. But they knew what they were doing. They knew where they were going to. Purpose woke up Joseph from, he arose from the dream. And then the Bible says he took Mary as his wife. Whether he felt butterflies or not, I don't think that time he was feeling butterfly. That time it was purpose he was feeling. All the time when he had to marry her and wait all through the 9 months for her to birth Jesus without sleeping with her. It wasn't just butterflies. What was pushing that man going was purpose. All those times when the angel of the Lord was speaking to him and telling him, see, the people that are coming for this child, you know, they want to come for the baby Jesus. I want you to move to Egypt. I want you to move to this place and that place. It was purpose that was moving him. These couple were destiny conscious. God used their relationship, their union, to secure and bring about the safety of the birth of Jesus. If Mary had missed it in marriage, I'm telling you, I don't think baby Jesus would have survived. Joseph was a man of the covenant. He understood covenant matters. Oh, I understand. Okay, wow, there's a Messiah actually coming, and I'm from the tribe of David. Oh, wow. I understand. He was destiny conscious. A lot of us have become butterfly and chemistry conscious. Concerning his relationship things, yeah, God is a God of romance and all of that, but I want you to know there's destiny here. You see God telling somebody that, oh, God leading you to a particular guy, and then you are like, God, this guy doesn't have a car yet, I don't think I can marry him. Amen. And you're like, God, this guy, you're giving all sorts of flimsy reasons why you cannot, you know, marry, and this is the person that God is leading you to. Please, if you're listening to me here, I want you to become destiny conscious when it comes to relationship. That's how it's done in the kingdom. It's in the world that people look at all those things. Does he have a car? Where does he stay? Who is his family? Family name? All those nonsense. See those things? Mm-mm. Those things, when it comes to the kingdom, those things don't matter. Because if those things had mattered, if those things mattered, Joseph would not marry Mary. Amen. You see a lady, you're like, ah, she's not my kind of person. She does this, the way she dresses, the way she talks. She can't even speak Queen's English, blah, 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 blah. I don't think. And meanwhile, God has destiny for both of you there. We are like, no, I don't think I can cope with her. When God has actually ordained that you will be the one to birth and nurture the queen in her. Amen. I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. And in that plan, he has a will for who should work with you in that plan. I want you to also know that not everybody can be your bae or boo. Oh yes, not everybody. Not everybody. Igabada haya. Not everybody can be your bae or your boo. Amen. You know, some studies show that some people, they knew that, okay, there's a prophecy coming that a virgin will conceive and all of that during the time of, you know, when Jesus was about to come. So some studies show that some virgins were praying that, oh, I will be the one that we conceive. But that thing was upon Mary. And then the person who she needed to come in contact with was someone that was coming from, you know, the lineage of David. Read Matthew 1. You will see that Joseph came from the lineage of David. Because God had already promised that, you know, a king is going to come, a Messiah is going to come from the throne of David. Amen. Glory to God. So those two people had to meet. Kabasuti ba'ande bahate. There is a woman that you have to meet. There is a man that you have to meet. Not every man or every woman is meant to be your bae or your boo or your wife or your husband. That's why you need to stop jumping around. You need to stop jumping from one place to another. You need to sit with God and discover God's plan and purpose for your life. Because in that plan and purpose God has for you, there is a man for you. There is a woman for you. Amen. Please understand this. That purpose is very key. Amen. Not everybody. Not everyone can be your babe, can be your boo, can be your wife, can be your husband. Hallelujah. Not everyone could rule the nation Israel. Glory to God. Not everybody. You've not read the story of how, you know, God was choosing kings for Israel. It was a serious matter. When God wanted to, the children of Israel cried. They needed king. Read that story very well. When Saul's father, when his donkey was missing, sent Saul to go and look for the donkey. God had already spoken to Prophet Samuel that I'm going to bring the king of Israel to you. And when he met Saul, he said, this is the one that I've chosen to rule my people. I don't know why some people say Saul was the choice of the people. Well, the Bible says that God said to Saul, to Samuel, this is one that I have chosen to be the commander of Israel. Amen. Go and read that story. Again, although the guy messed up, but God actually chose Saul. Amen. He actually chose him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then when Saul messed up, amen, God said, why are you mourning for? God told Sam, why are you mourning over Saul? I have given the kingdom to his neighbor. And then God called David. Glory to God. So I want to say this here. It doesn't matter the lady or the guy that has disappointed you or broken your heart or, you know, refused to, you know, walk in line with, you know, the relationship, the God-ordained relationship that, you know, they deceived you, you know, and all of that. It doesn't matter. God has somebody better for you. Amen. God said, I found David, my servant. And with holy oil, I've anointed him. God anointed David. Amen. There is a man for you. In fact, you can even see, it's so funny that God is amazing. While Saul was still even on the throne, God had already told Samuel, go and anoint David for me. Go to Bethlehem. So why the guy is already messing up? Why the lady is already messing up, messing you up? And up? God is already rearranging somebody else for you. So please do not be in a state of, oh, if this guy leaves, my life is over. Your life is not over. If this girl leaves, my life, your life is not over. There is somebody that God is arranging for you, even before the breakup finally happened. Amen. Before Saul finally left the throne, God had already anointed David, prepared him. Glory to God. So I want you to know there's a prepared guy for you. There's a prepared woman for you. There is no one man or one woman for you, anybody in the kingdom, but there is that man for you. There is that woman for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So not everyone could rule the nation Israel. God had to choose the kings. Amen. Not everyone could rule the nation. Someone's like, is it not a nation? I want you to be a nation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. A peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has a man for each and every one of us in this nation. In this kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If God had a choice for who would rule Israel, God has a choice for the man and the woman that will walk with you. Amen. Glory to God. There's this scripture that I love so much. Amen. Psalm 127 verse 1. Glory to God. It says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This scripture is so key because the Bible says that they eventually built the city, they built the house. So some people can, you know, push the relationship that God is not even in it. God did not lead them. They'll just pass it here, pass it there. Hey, the guy is messing up. Everything. There's purpose not in view. It's not a godly relationship. Nothing is in line with God. They shall pass it. You know, all those motivational speaking, push it, stay there, work it, you know, let it go, blah, blah, blah. Yes, and then they build the relationship, but the truth is God is not the builder. So I want to ask you, do you want to be the builder of the relationship or you want God to be the builder? Because if God is the builder of the relationship, you can actually be the co-builders of the relationship. Amen. Like, you're actually doing your part, but God is the shift chairman of the relationship. That's the testimony that I have, and that's the testimony I desire for everyone, you know, who is in waiting, that God will be the one who will build your relationship for you, who will bring the man to you. I don't have issues in my marriage at all. I don't have issues, and I knew I would not have issues in my marriage. I knew. Some people are afraid, how will I know? It's not like guesswork. You can know. Amen. You can know. Glory to God. Because I followed God's plan. I had messed up, dated a lot of rubbish, you know, people, guys, you know, dated different things. You know, I was just messing up. But when I was tired, I said, okay, God, let's do this. And I decided to wait, and God said to sit at my feet. I will bring the man to you. So I decided to remove my hand from relationship matters. Stop struggling and resign. Some of you need to resign. Just say, God, take over. I said to resign. I said, God, oh yeah, I'm not doing it again. I broke up with every relationship I had. And then God began to speak to me about who my husband was. He began to talk to me about purpose. I was like, wow. Glory to God. Amen. And then I met him and everything was just like, pop, pop, pop. I'm like, wow, glory to God. Amen. And today, I'm happily married to him. Purpose is smelling in our marriage. Some people say, well, anyway, some people don't understand the meaning of purpose keeps you going. So if I did the understanding God's purpose school that she's doing, you better register, because purpose keeps you going in life, even in your marriage. Purpose is that spark. It's that thing that keeps you. It's not by having plenty sex and plenty children. After you have the sex, your body calm down. What are you guys going to be thinking about? What's going to keep you guys going? Amen. Purpose is what keeps us going. Amen. In our relationship, in our marriage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm hoping this will be the last VN I will send because I have to run. Hallelujah. So, I was saying that who is the builder of the relationship? Is it you? Is it something you pass yourself, put together? Because if you are the one that wants to start build the relationship, you don't want to, you know, connect with God's plan, God's will. You will be the one to supply the cement, the block, everything. You will feel drained in that relationship. You know, somehow we feel like, because it's love and romance, we feel God is not interested. Thanks to religion, that's how they've made it look like. And when it comes to romance, no, but when it comes to revival, winning souls, fire of the Holy Ghost, God is like, gengen, that's it. See, the truth is this, that's a big lie and twist from the enemy. That's the truth, because right from time, God has always been into our romantic life, right from the start. He was the one that came and said, it is not good that man should be alone. It wasn't Adam that was saying, oh, hey, God, I need a bill and all that. It was God that said, it's not good that man should be alone. So you are, hey, Kabaya, you that you are busy worrying yourself, who's my husband? Who's my husband? Who's my wife? Who's my wife? God is already interested. God is sitting on that matter. God, heaven is already on the case. Heaven is on the matter. Angels are on assignment already concerning who your man is, concerning who your husband is, concerning who your wife is. Heaven is already on the case. Amen. God has already, you know, moved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Marriage is God's idea. So marriage is part of the spiritual blessing. God has already blessed you with it. That's why the Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. In God's eyes, you are a wife. So please, just allow God set you up to be found. No need to start feeling like, this and that. No. God has already blessed you. God has already blessed you with a husband, with a wife. Amen. He has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Amen. So I want you to start switching your prayer now to, you know, doing as if you are begging God to give you husband. To, Father, thank you for my husband. Father, thank you for my wife. You have blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Oh, Father, thank you for blessing me with a man. Thank you, Father, for blessing me with a woman. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I call forth my husband. In the name of Jesus. That's how you should be praying. Not like, oh God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Let a man see me. Let my woman. What's this nonsense? No. Glory to Jesus. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. God is not running at us, Keta, right now, looking for who will be your wife, who will be your husband. No. God is too intelligent for that. You can see how that, you know, Abraham's servant was led. The Bible said before he even finished praying, Kebo Suta, before he even finished praying the prayer, Rebecca was already coming. Ego sutali badabaha. She was already coming. Ha ha. Hey, glory to Jesus. Some of you, see, quit praying. You've been praying. It's time for you to start rejoicing. God has already, you know, led the person to you. You need to start giving God thanks, because as you begin to wear the garment of joy, your eyes of understanding will be enlightened to be able to decode who that person is. Suga dabadabaha. Ego sutandi anamande. Igabo sukatili adabaha. Roboshandi gadibaha suta. Why was it that at that time, that when Abraham's servant was coming, that was when Rebecca came to the well? Why was it at that time? Why didn't something hold her back? Isuga dabaha teli adabaha. Oh, Shanda Balabahaya. The Bible says in Isaiah, I can't remember where right now, it says that while they are yet speaking, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. Glory to God. Stop letting the enemy lie to you that God has abandoned you concerning this marital affair. God has not abandoned you. He has heard you. He has heard you. It is settled, beloved. This is a word for somebody here. It is settled in the name of Jesus. I want you to start giving God thanks. I want you to start rejoicing. Glory to God. Father, we give you thanks. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. Akili Adabahandi. God is interested in who you get married to. Glory to God. God is interested in who you get married to. Amen. He's interested in it. Oh, such a loving Father. We give you thanks. We give you glory. If you know the man and the woman that God is preparing for you, you will break down and start crying and say, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Some of you don't know that it's the love of God that has broken you from useless relationships. But you've become so offended at God. But meanwhile, it is the love of God in action. It is the love of God in display, saving you from what you do not yet know. Father, we thank you for your love. Amen. You know, I posted something on the ministry that I coordinate. I just posted on my status too. You know, some of you might have seen it. About the COVID-19 wedding kasala. You know, they were supposed to get married, but they said they should not marry. They postponed it. The guy said the lady should come and stay over, but the lady said no. The guy connected with his ex, and then the ex got pregnant, and the lady became hospitalized. His wife, the wife to be, became hospitalized. And some of my girls were like, perhaps I should go and do Thanksgiving that God was saving her from a very, very funny marriage. I mean, marriage I'm not even start. You're already connecting with your ex. I don't understand. Well, in fact, if I know that lady, I would tell her, get up from this hospital bed and go and rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to talk about navigating into marriage. You know, Pastor Tella said, it's navigating into marriage, you know, and in fact, God saved me, and it you know, he helped me know what to say along this line. I want us to understand that the word of God is the goal. Bless God for, you know, couple goals. Those things are good. You know, having people who model the word. Amazing. Glory to God. Amazing. The Bible says, follow those who through faith are patient. You know, I've obtained the promise. Do you understand? I know. The truth is the word of God they even followed. Do you understand? That helped them. So when you are even looking at them and you are couple goals, don't get distracted and be like, you know, just get, you know, distracted by the whole euphoria of, oh, couple goals, I love this couple. I want you to understand that what they are running with is the word of God that has made them. So you need to pay attention to the word, even as you follow those who through faith and patience. Amen. Glory to God. As, you know, obtained a goal marriage. Amen. And what's that word? In the book of Ephesians, if you read the book of Ephesians, coming from chapter 1, you will see that Paul is actually trying to tell us about Christ, the mystery about Christ, how that, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles, they are not one, the mystery of Christ, the riches in Christ. Everything was in Christ. And later on, it deviated into Christian living. It deviated into how to live the Christian life, pull off the old man, put on the new man, don't steal anymore. And then he moved into marriage in chapter 5. I'm just going to read and then we're going to close. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 22. Amen. It says, I'm reading the TPT translation. It says, for wives, this means, okay, where am I starting from? Let me see. Okay. All right. Okay, we're talking about submission. Okay, let me start from 19 or 20. It said, always give thanks to God, your Father, for every person he brings into your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. Okay, then 23 says, for wives, this means being devoted to your husband, like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. For the husband provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ provides leadership for the church as the savior and reviver of the body. Now, I want to tell you that, see, relationship goes according to the word. In marriage, I want to stress this, all right, is that the man must be able to provide leadership for his wife. If the man is not able to provide leadership for his wife, it's not a goal. Yes, because that's not the word. The word says, the word of God says, the husband provides what? Leadership for the wife. Leadership for the wife. One of the reasons a lot of women are just misbehaving up and down, they are not coordinated. In fact, I feel the reason that feminism became really overstressed is because that women lacked men that were able to lead them. Yes, a woman is very, very strong. For God to say, be the man's helpmeet, that means that you carry so much grace to be somebody's helper. That means you can help, you can do the things around you, take care of yourself, you can still help another person. So that kind of you know, being needs someone to lead her, to be a covering for her. So I feel like a lot of girls, a lot of wives, women, they don't have men who could really be leaders. So they just felt, well, this one is just doing like what I don't know. So let me just be moving my own way. Amen. Glory to God. The man that you want to get married to, can he lead you? Amen. Can he lead you? Do you see a leader in him? For some, the leadership, you know, potential is there, but it has not been fanned to flame. Amen. That's why you need to, you know, ensure that you both are submitted to a mentor. You both are getting, getting fed spiritually, going for counseling trainings and all of that. Amen. Growing together. Glory to God. Helping the man recognize that, see, you are the leader. Amen. You don't try to lead a man. You make him recognize that you are the leader. You may know what to do, but you push it to him and say, honey, why don't we try it like this? There are times that I know what me and my husband, we need to do. I know. But I know you're not just speaking it. But I just said, now, babe, I think we should do it like this. What do you think? Amen. And then he says, yeah, we're doing it like this. We're doing it like this. And then, yeah, that's my leader. I should lead. Amen. Glory to God. So as a man, can you lead? All this one, you want to get your relationship, you want to get to it. Can you lead a woman? You can't even lead your own life. You want to carry another person to be leading. What are you doing? Amen. Goals, relationship goals is the word. It says that the husband provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ what provides leadership for the church. Glory to God. Amen. Our Lord Jesus is the one leading us. He's the one providing leadership for the church as the savior and revival of the body. I want to show us another thing here. Amen. It says, in the same way the church is devoted to Christ, let the wives be devoted to their own husbands in everything. Relationship goals. Are you ready to submit? Amen. Are you ready to be devoted to? If my husband says that, honey, we have something else to do. My husband is a very sweet person. And I don't know. He's just a very sweet person. He's not difficult. My husband is not difficult. You know. Hallelujah. But not every man can be like that. It doesn't mean that they are bad men. Do you get some men? They just want their thing done. Do you understand? You know, so but my husband says that, sweetheart, we have to be somewhere and all that. Babe, I have a meeting. No. Some men will be like, no, you're not going for that meeting. We have to go. I will have to submit. Amen. Okay, fine. It's all right. You know, okay, no problem. Glory to God. That's the word. That's the word. Are you ready to submit to a man? All this stronger, you are doing like, make my hair stronger. No, I must, my own opinion must be heard. That's not according to the word. Amen. Glory to God. Because the truth is this, if you are not, you're single, God is training you to be a submissive wife. Many of you don't know. God is telling you, wake up and be praying every day. So time you're like, God, I beg. Whoa, I'm not doing. By the time you marry and then your husband says, Oni, we are waking up, so time, what will you do? Amen. Will you flaunt that instruction, or will you give yourself to it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Submission. Hallelujah. Are you ready to submit? If you're not submitted to the word of God, there's no way you'll be submitted to a man. You will find it difficult. And 25. I love 25. It says, unto the husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. Hey! Right now, there are men that are married that they don't even understand this simple word, love your wife. It's like rocket science to them. It says, for he died for us, sacrificing himself. No. Honestly, guys, you need to go and sit with this scripture. My husband said he had to sit with this scripture, you know, while we were in a relationship. And the spirit of the scripture entered him. And really, the spirit of the scripture has entered my husband. And to the glory of God, I am not bragging on anything, but the way it demonstrates the scripture, I'm like, no, this is amazing. This is amazing. Amen. I did something to my husband one day that, if I say it open, some people's married, we first pause. But the man just loved me. Is that not how Christ loves us? Amen. We break his heart, we do a lot of nonsense, but he still comes for us. He still carries us. Glory to God. Are you ready to love like that? That's relationship goals. But in the world, after the girl or the guy just messed up, what's my lawyer? Calling for divorce. What are you doing? That's not the word. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sacrificing himself. There are times my husband would, he knows that I need something, and he would sacrifice himself, his time, his money to ensure that I get it. You know, this one, see, I want you to know that this is not about me, or maybe because I'm not even the most beautiful girl in Nigeria or anything. It's about the word. It's being influenced by the word. Can you allow the word of God influence you in loving your wife, in loving that person you want to get married to? I would see my husband doing this, and I'm like, this is the spirit of God's word at work in him. Hallelujah. It's not always going to be convenient, but you have to allow God's word work in you. He says he died for her to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of pure water of the word. Hallelujah. Let me cut this and continue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right, so I'm rounding up now. He says, for he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of pure water of the word of God. He says, all that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure, until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. You can see that Paul is actually talking about marriage, but he's showing us how Christ runs with us, how Christ rules with us in the church. So you can see that if your relationship has to be a goal, if it's a relationship goal according to the kingdom, you have to look at God's word. You have to look at how Christ, you know, relates with the church. And you have to follow that pattern. Guys, are you hearing me? If you're here, you're not ready to make that lady's life better. If you're not ready, you can see that the Bible says that Christ, you know, did all this, sacrificed himself so that she will be a radiant bride. If you're not ready to make that woman's life better, please leave her alone. Leave her alone. She'll be better off without you. She'll be better off without a man. You see, ladies now, sometimes they get into a relationship, they get married, and then it's like their life just becomes zigzag, becomes worse off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So please, if you're listening to me, if you're not ready to make that lady more radiant, more beautiful, to be able to fulfill her purpose, if you're not ready to support her, if you're not ready to nurture her, leave her alone. Hallelujah. 28 says, husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. Now, before I talk about this, verse 28, and also, ladies, if you are listening to me and you are in a relationship with a guy who is not making you better, I advise you now that you leave that relationship. God must have been telling you to leave. So I've come to add my own extra jarrah voice. Leave that relationship now. Amen. You know, a sister was telling me one time that ever since she started dating this guy for the past 4 years, that her life has been drained. This was a tongue-talking guy. A tongue-talking brother. Somebody I was even, at that time when I didn't have sense, I was comparing him with my husband. Like my fiance then. I was like, baby, she needs to be friends with this guy now. Like, he can pray very long hours. But this guy was messing up my friend, sleeping with her. When she told me, I just went to one corner. I said, Father, thank you. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for the man that you've given unto me. I thank you for him. Amen. Glory to God. Because he may not be able to pray 24 hours at a stretch, but I thank you for his heart that he loves you. See, ladies, we are looking for, we are trying to fit in spiritual maturity by how long somebody prays. It's good to pray for long. It's good to be able to do all those things and all that. Amen. In fact, I thought that I could pray until I got married. And I said, my husband used to encourage me. Amen. But that time I'll be like, brother, he's not even, my husband doesn't like showing himself. You know, he doesn't like praying when people ask. So I felt that, this guy is not, spiritual. Like, he's not, you get. But when he opens his mouth to talk, When he speaks, I'm like, man, this guy is, his wisdom is. So some of you feel like because you can pray, you can, you lift your hand, 4 people fly. You feel you are spiritually matured. No, that's not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is based on your love walk. He kabbalahaya. Amen. Those things are gifts. Anybody can press, you can press into God and get those things. But when it comes to character. Character. If you see when, you know, Peter was chosen, he says, for people, the deacons, he says, we need to give ourselves to the word and to prayer. He says, let us find 7 men. Read that scripture where he says, men, who are of good report, not just full of the Holy Ghost. He says, men who have good, honest report. Amen. Glory to God. Men who have honest report. Character is needed, guys. In fact, if you look at Titus, when Paul was listening out to things for ministry, how many thing about prayer and fasting did you see there? It was about character. It was just pushing out first. Amen. Glory to God. So this person that you're in a relationship with, how is his character? Are you trying to judge, look for fire? You don't use fire. And mama is hot. If he prays yesterday, people in Astro Rock be hearing, Lord, that's my husband. But then, it's somebody that can be telling you to do nonsense, to have sex, and then he will not be cooking research revelation for you that sex is a sin against your body, not a sin against God, all those things. See, anyways, let me not sit on this table. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I want you to look hard for a man whose heart, who reverence God. Amen. A man that God can tell him, today I want you to start praying 3 hours. And he's like, yes, Lord. A man who God will tell him that I want you to stop doing this. And he's like, yes, Lord. A man whose heart is submitted to God. A man who loves the Lord. Amen. Some guys don't love God. And the love of God is not constraining them. You know, Paul said the love of God constrains us. Some people, it's their manhood that is constraining them now. It's not the love of God, but they can blast tongues. Let's continue. 28 says, husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. For to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body, but pampers it, serving and satisfying its needs. That's exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies us as members of his body. Now, this is where I close. The man, he says he loves his wife as his own body. For those of you guys that are listening to me, you want to be in a relationship, or you're in a relationship and you're getting married, or you're even married. Amen. And you see your babe as an intimidation to you. You need to man up. Because what God expects of you is to nurture that woman, not to see her as a competition. What God expects of you is to nurture, not to be an hindrance to her, not to be a stumbling block to her. You are meant to nurture her, because as you help her fulfill her destiny, you are helping yourself. You are helping yourself. The Bible says he loves the wife, it's like he's loving his own self. People may see that, oh, it was Mary that was all over the place. Everybody talks about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was one that was pregnant. Mary. Everybody was looking at Mary. But I want you to know that Joseph was actually helping himself fulfill destiny. Why? Because remember, he was the one that was connected to the covenant. He was the one coming from the lineage of David. So him loving Mary, helping her fulfill her destiny, helping her birth Joseph, was him fulfilling his own destiny. So if you are here, you want to be a stumbling block to one lady and say you're not going to allow her, you're not going to allow her be the woman that she wants to be, you don't want to allow her fly, you're not helping yourself. You are not helping yourself. Amen. This is actually one of the things God said to Amma on tonight. Guys, you guys need to grow up. You need to start learning how to support women, because see, God's hand is strong upon ladies in these last days. Ladies are going to rise, and they might not know you anywhere, but you must be able to feel complete. You must not feel like, you know, you're intimidated or anything. No, you must be able to support her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have to run now, so I have some people I need to be with, but I believe we've been blessed tonight, and I trust that, you know, everything that I've been sharing, that Pastor Teller has shared, all the amazing men of God have shared, and the little I've shared tonight has been able to, you know, help pass a message to someone here. Glory to God. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We say thank you. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that your word will go and take root downwards in the hearts of your people and bear fruit upwards. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you so much, Joe Ministry. Thank you for having me. I celebrate you all. I love you all. I love you, Teller. God bless you. Bye.